This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be here on the radio. We thank you for each and every listener and supporter of this broadcast. We ask you today, Lord, that you'd bless them, have your will and your way, Father. Do pray for the children's homes, mission work. Lord, just have your will and everything that's said and done. Lord, and I do pray for the lost. Ask you, Lord, to save them by the grace of God, Lord. And we want to thank you one more time for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord God, for saving us by your grace, Lord God. And we just want to give you the glory and honor that's due your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, brethren, I just want to make a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Would like to ask you to remember our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania. If you would, remember all the missionaries and that mission field in all of those countries, Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine, North India, South India, Moldova. We sure appreciate what the Lord has done in these countries, and just continue to pray that the Word of God would go out. We'd know what to do to get that out there. The Bible said it was it's a precious seed, and it needs to be planted in the hearts of men, and I believe the Lord will come by and bring forth fruit out of that precious seed. So if you would, please pray with us. I also want to mention this. If you would remember, our camp meeting here at the Brookside Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee, be taking place on July the 17th through July the 21st. We'd like to invite you to come and be with us in any of all services. We'll have two services a day, one at 10 o'clock in the morning, one at 7 o'clock at night. They'll feed you in between meals, and we're looking for a good time in the Lord. As I said, we would like to invite you to come and be with us during this time, July the 17th through the 21st. And so at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and I trust you enjoy the message. But if you have your Bibles, just for a few minutes tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And as far as the New Testament goes, I think this book here clarifies a lot of things, a lot of questions, a lot of things that people gets misrepresented in the Word of God. Amen. This book of Ephesians will clarify Calvinism, just all of it. Amen. You find out in chapter 1 that first 11 or 12 verses, he's talking to Israel. You find out, Amen. Hey, I can believe in Calvinism when it comes to them. He had chosen them to be holy, unblameable, before him in love. Amen. I don't have no problem with that. That's right. Then you come down there and you find out he starts talking to the Gentiles. Amen. And ye, after you heard the word of truth. Ain't that good? Yeah. And trusted. Tells the Gentiles, sitting, you're sealed until the day of redemption. I mean, God done a work in you. I mean, there's a lot of clarification in this book right here. Then he tells you how you got saved in chapter 2. He said it's for by grace. Amen. That's just it. And that not of yourselves. Right. It is a gift of God. Right. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Yeah. He don't give you any place to boast in your salvation. It's all a gift of God. Then you come over to chapter 3 and find out that God's given the Gentiles a dispensation of the grace of God. And I was reading this last few days, and like I said, every now and then, I just flip over and read this book of Ephesians. And it hit me as I got over to chapter 4. Now you get over chapter 4, 5, and 6, and it really tells the Gentiles how to live. I mean, it just, you know, it starts out there and just tells us, you know. And how that we should live. Gives us a lot of things in there. But I thought about this. I thought, you know, when the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they were down there in Egypt. And as God began to bring them out of Egypt, took them into the wilderness, took God up on the mountain and gave him the law, or took Moses, God took Moses up on the mountain, called him up there on the mountain, gave him the law and gave him all of the ordinances, commandments, told him how to build the tabernacle, I mean, how to worship, all of these things. Amen. Gave him all of this stuff. Come off of there, and I thought, now here we are. Here we were dead in sins and in trespasses. And he gave them something back there that they could not do. Amen. It basically pointed them back to him. But he done us better than that. When he raised us up out of death and called us by his grace, hey, let me read a few things. This is what he gave us. He gave us gifts. Amen. 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 I mean, he gave us gifts. Amen. I mean, he gave them the law. And here we are Gentiles and we're living in this. And he gave us gifts. Boy, I thought that's pretty good. I mean, he didn't put us under a bunch of stuff that we couldn't do. He gave us gifts to allow us to live in the body of Christ and accomplish his will. Amen. He gave us the things to be part of the church, to be able to love one another, Amen. To be able to walk in the Spirit and unity. I mean, he gave us gifts. Back there, he gave them commandments. Here, he fills with the Spirit of God and says, now you can do it. Amen. You can't do it under the commandment, but with the Spirit of God, you can do some things. Yeah. It ain't us, it's him. Amen. Amen. I mean, if you want something, you come to him, he'll give you a gift. Amen. I mean, I thought he gave them the law, and that's good. He gave them the ordinances, but Lord God, I believe we got in on the better end of this deal. Yeah. I mean, the Bible said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, I mean, that ye business in the book of Ephesians, that's talking to us Gentiles. We's talking to the Jews, but ye's talking to the Gentiles. And he said, okay, there's a vocation that you could walk in. And he says this, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. I want to say this, it's easier to love than it is to keep the law. Amen. It is. I mean, especially if you got some Holy Ghost in you, got some Jesus in you, the Bible said God is love. Said we love him because he first loved us. I mean, we learned how to love because he loved us. I mean, that's the only reason you know how to love. And I mean, it says this, it said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm glad with these gifts I'm going to preach on here in a few minutes, you can have some peace. Now, he tells us some things here. He said, there's one body. There's one Spirit. See, I mean, for us Gentiles, you got to keep it simple. Got to keep the math down real low. I mean, there's just one body. There's not many bodies. You're just in one church. He just made it really simple for us. He said, there's one Spirit. Thank God for that. Now, I know in this world there's many spirits, but I'll tell you what, there's only one Spirit of God. And I like what Brother Ralph said when he went back overseas and he said, hey, there's a couple of things I want to take over there. He said, I want to take the right word and I want to take the right spirit in there. Amen. He said, I mean, I want them to get the right thing. I don't want to just go in there with any old spirit on me. I want the Spirit of God. And I mean, I understand the Spirit of God tells them one thing, tells them about Jesus, thank God. That's what he went in there. I like the first message that I know of that he got to preach down in Bulgaria when there's down there sacrificing them animals out there in the streets, found out a preacher was there with them, and there's going through all those religious rituals, and they asked him, would you like to say something? Brother Ralph got up and told him, said, yeah, you don't have to do this no more. The lamb's already been slain. Yeah.
Thank God the price has already been paid. I thought, Lord God, what a message. Ain't that a good one? You say, what is that? That's the Spirit of God testifying to a crowd that wants to know something about God. And they just found out the most important thing they've ever heard, that he's already been slain. You don't have to do this. The price has already been paid. Say, why did he do it? He done it for you. This is the dispensation of the grace of God to the Gentiles. Now, this dispensation of the grace of God consists of some gifts. I mean, I don't know how I've missed this for so long. I mean, you know, Israel got the law, but we got gifts. Now, the Bible said, it said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But listen to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. How about that for a gift? I mean, my God, he didn't come in giving you the law. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Christ Jesus. So the first thing I find out we're given is the grace of God. I mean, here we are and we're in a dispensation that God has allowed us in, and it's a dispensation of grace. That means you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It is, as they say, the unmerited favor of God that allowed us to come into his presence, come to his Son. Thank God. We were a Gentile nation that was destitute, away from God. The Bible said over in chapter 2, having no hope, no promise, no covenant. We didn't have anything. So he gave us something. We didn't have anything. So he said, okay, I'll give you grace. You didn't have no covenant to come to allow you to come in, so I'll give you grace and that'll let you in. You didn't have no promise. I didn't make you no promise that you could ever come to me, so I'll give you grace and that'll let you come to me. You didn't have no hope that I'd ever open a door to you, but here's the grace of God and the door's now open to you. So I'll give you grace. Lord God, I feel like taking a fit. Oh, Lord God, I thank God for the gift of grace. Because above all in here, I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve that my name's written in the... I mean, we just sung that song. I know my name is there, thank God. But it's only there by the grace of God. And that's the gift of God. So here we are, and he's teaching us how to live, but he's doing it by grace. Ain't that good? Yeah, man. And then I want to go on to the next gift. It's saying, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. How about that? Amen. I don't even know how to preach that. I can't even preach grace, much left. I mean, how do you measure Christ? How do you measure that gift? I mean, I find when you read of his love, I mean, you can't measure it. I mean, it talks about being beyond height, depth, width. I mean, Lord God, it goes beyond any measurement system that we have. How do you measure his love? The Bible talked about he'd give us the sure mercies of David. How do you measure a mercy that's new every morning? I mean, my God, he's got a renewal system. I mean, that when you go to sleep, you may not be conscious of it. But when you wake up, he's been conscious of it all night long. And he says, I'm going to be merciful to that crowd tomorrow. Every one of us ought to be in hell, but because of the measure of Christ. We can't even measure what he's done for us. I was thinking about this. Somebody's been telling me about some fellas that they asked me to pray for. And one of them, he's over in Desert Storm, and he killed some folks over there. And since he's come back, he's a cop, and he's had to do the same things here. And he's done, so he's got a lot of baggage in his life. And he said he just can't see how that God could forgive that. Well, he just don't know the measure. think about it. I would that I could preach to him and have the Spirit of God and the words to tell him. that the Lord, I mean, beyond measure can forgive all sin. I mean, in fact, the only sin that he won't forgive is that unbelief. I mean, my God, murder, thieving, I mean, all of this stuff we can sit here all night long and list sins, but my God, the Bible said where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I mean, how do you talk about the measure of the gift of Christ? I mean, how much did he give? He gave all. He gave everything. He gave all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his grace. But let me go further. He gave his blood to cleanse you from sin. He gave his last breath so that you didn't have to die. He bore the wrath of God so you didn't have to see the wrath of God. I mean, how do you even preach this or talk about the measure of the gift of Christ? He went to hell so I didn't have to go to hell. Amen. Left my sins down there as far as I'm concerned so that I'd never have to face my sins. I'm never going to have to stand before God facing my sins. No, thank God. I mean, this gift of Christ that I'm talking about took my sins and bore them in his body and imputed unto me his righteousness.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm just as righteous and as holy as... I mean, how do you preach that gift? Well, it's pretty good. It's better than the law, ain't it? I mean, he gave us gifts. He gave us Gentiles gifts. Boy, I'll tell you what, that helped my... I was sitting back there yesterday and I was reading this and I thought, well, how have I missed that for the last 30 years? I mean, really? I mean, just to see it, when he brought them out, he gave them the law. When he brought us out, he gave us gifts. Lord, have mercy. You're talking about a contrast. I wouldn't trade places with the Jews for it. I really wouldn't. I mean, they've got the inheritance. They've got the covenant, the promises. And I got Jesus. They do too, but see, they can't see it. But by the grace of God, he let me see it. What good is a gift, to be honest, if you can't open it? How about that? I mean, but see, we got to open it. We got to see. Now, one day they'll get to see it, but I mean, I get, John was telling me, he went last week and part of the prior week and went and seen his mama and seen his brothers and talked about his two brothers, said they had a little bit different spirit on them this time. You know, they're not like John. They've not been converted. Their eyes have not been opened. And he said, I know they're all right, but he said, I really wish that they'd be able to enjoy God while they're here. And he said, one of them was having to do an Old Testament, and I'll get it wrong, something, you know, but he was doing it for an education thing. And he said, what is your favorite Old Testament book? John, I think, told him, he said, I really like Ezekiel chapters 37 and 38. He said, but I really like Isaiah. And he said, can you see the difference between Isaiah chapter, the first chapter is up to chapter 6. Then you get over chapter 41 and there's a transition. He got to reading and said, I do. Boy, ain't that good that God might be opening up his eyes.
Amen.
Said the other one, said every time we went to eat and sat down to eat, he said, John, would you bless it? He said, that ain't my brothers. It might be.
Yeah.
Amen. But see, they've had a gift that they've never got to open. But here we are, we're sitting here under the blessings of God, and you've got to enjoy the gift of God. You've got to live under the grace of God. You've got to enjoy Christ. You've got to experience him come by and touch your heart and save your young'uns and do things in your life. You've got to be under it. You've got to hear the prayers. You've got to see God feed the thousands. You've got to know it was him. You've got to open the Word of God and read it and get some understanding from it. Where the Bible said, I mean, they're blinded to it. I mean, you know, they want to read Moses. Well, that blinds them. I mean, every time the law is written, there's a veil put on, I mean, over their heart. They can't get past that. But see, you've been able to get past that veil, and you've been able to go on to Christ. You've been able to go plumb from Moses and the law that was given to them, and a gift was given to you, and now it's all open to you. Thank God. Lord God, I'm glad. I mean, ain't that a blessing over there? The Hebrew writer, chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus. Boy, ain't that good to see Him?
Amen.
Lord God, if you was like me and had to look in the mirror, you'd be thankful to see Jesus. I see this old feller and I know he ain't no good. But then I see Jesus and I know He is good. Thank God. But let me go on down here. I'm going to preach just a few more minutes, and I'll let you go here in a few minutes. But the Bible said, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Boy, ain't that something? Now He that ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Now, I think there's a lot more to that than I can preach, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I think somehow there's a transition that when the Son of God took our sins and He placed them in hell, then I think there's a time in that He went to heaven and He done a work. He also ascended up there and He took His own blood and He placed it on the mercy seat. And that's what it's talking about over in John chapter 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now the place, I preach this a lot, was not the mansion. He said, in My Father's house are many mansions, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there you may come also. Think about that was, the mansions are already there. He's not up there building mansions. But the place that He went to prepare, He took His own blood up there and He placed it on the mercy seat. And that blood upon the mercy seat allows you and I to come in there.
Amen.
Thank God. That's what He prepared. He took His own blood. And then it said this. So I mean, that He might fill all things. Well, as far as I know, the gift that was given to us is Christ has filled all things. God's not expecting a whole lot from you. It's already full. He's already done it. It's already finished. Now, I won't go on here just a minute because I've been pondering this next verse for a little while. And the Bible said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In verse 13, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to stop and back up. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, some of y'all might not think so, but He gave some gifts here. He said He gave some apostles. Well, far as I know, our apostle is the Apostle Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He gave us that. Ain't that a blessing? Now, there's not any more apostles. Now I know there's some that call themselves apostles and bishops and all kinds of things. You can write that off. There's no more apostles. The Bible said, Paul said he was as one born out of due season. You know, I mean, the rest of that crowd, they had walked with him, they had been with him, they had seen it, but at this point when he was born out of due season, Christ had already died, had already ascended up into the heavens.
Yes.
But then he appeared to Paul. That's what made him an apostle. He seen the light. He literally seen the light. And every time he preached on the light, he said, I seen a light. Then he said, I seen a great light. And then next time he gave his testimony, he said, I seen an exceeding great light. And the fourth time he gave that testimony, he said, I seen a light as the noonday sun. Every time that he gave his testimony, you say, what? Ain't it, why did he change it? He didn't change it. He just seen more and more and more of the gift of God. His measure got deeper and deeper and deeper every time. And he ran out of words. It's like Jimmy said this morning, I wished I had words. He ran out of adjectives, adverbs. He ran out of everything that he just said, look, the brightest light I can compare him to is the noonday sun. Then it said he went and spent 3.5 years over in the desert. And I believe the Lord met with him and gave him something. He come back and he is our apostle. We don't have any other apostles. We don't have to worry about what everybody else says. Bible said he gave some prophets. Well, the prophecies, the Bible said, is they shall cease. They're over. The closest thing you're going to get to a prophet now is somebody that reads this book, understands what it says, understands what it says about our future. That's not so much a prophet as it is an orator of just the word of God that another prophet saw. You don't have to be ignorant of what's to come. It's in this Bible. You don't have to be ignorant of the future. It's here. It's in this Bible. Amen. He had prophets to write it down. Yeah. He gave it to you. Right. He gave it to us. You can read this. Some he gave that to. Most of that prophecy stuff, he gave to Israel. Amen. I mean, most all of that stuff is going to take place over yonder. Only thing we're going to get out of that end is the Lord's return. And while we're waiting on it, it's going to wax worse and worse. Men will be deceiving them, being deceived. It'll be as it was in the days of Noah. They knew not till the flood came. I mean, but he gave some prophets. Then the Bible said, and he gave some evangelists. Now I've talked a little bit about this. I think most of the evangelism in America is about done. I ain't saying all of it. I'm just saying most of it's done. I think America has hit a turning point. They've rejected the Word of God. And as I read those scriptures this morning, I think we're getting more thorns and briars than we are myrtle tree and fir trees. I think that's what's being raised up now, and without the true word of God, that's all you can raise up. It's thorns and briars. And that's what's taking place. We've got children of wrath instead of children of God.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message. We would like to ask you to write us this week, if you would. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.